Pray with me. I want to provide you an opportunity to come to the Lord in confession this time. To confess any sins committed this past week, even this morning, in thought, in word, in deed. Lord, as we come to you in confession, knowing that we are broken people, we hold fast to the promise and the truth that when we come to you in confession, that you hear and that you will forgive us, not because of anything we have done, but simply because of the work of Jesus Christ done on our behalf, and that through his work, walking on this earth, his death and resurrection, that our debt has been paid in full. And Lord, as we come to come before the cross of Jesus, we are utterly reminded of this. And at the same time, we are thankful and we want to worship you, oh God. At the same time, we recognize that this world is still a broken place. That the work of seeing redemption come into fruition is still in progress. So we pray, Lord, just for this world and the brokenness in each one of our lives. We pray this morning for those who are sick, those we know who are physically ill, struggling with ailments, fighting for their lives. Lord, we pray that you would provide comfort to these brothers and sisters this morning, that they would be able to sense your presence. We pray, Lord, that you would be able to heal them with your power, oh God. We pray that you would use doctors and modern technology to bring them healing as well. We pray for their families, that as they walk with their loved ones through illness, that you also give them comfort and help them to persevere as well. We pray for those struggling with mental illness. We pray, Lord, that you would be aiding them, giving them peace even in their own minds. We pray, Lord, that they too will be able to find rest and find comfort in the Savior, oh God. Father, we pray that as we enter the Lenten season, starting this week, we pray that you would help us, oh God, to consider and maybe take steps to take part in practicing Lent as a time where we can more intentionally draw near to you, to strip away more of things that we hold onto in this world and instead hold onto and seek after Jesus that much more intentionally. Father, I pray that you would challenge us in this way. Challenge us in our walks with you as we prepare and look forward to celebrating Easter in a month or so. This morning I ask, Lord, that you would open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts to receive your truth. Father, I pray that you'd be able to help me speak your words and your words alone, oh God, that in my weakness, that your strength would be made known, that your Holy Spirit may penetrate the hearts of everyone here, including my own. We thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Would you be with us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, our scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 8a. 4 through 8a. And it reads, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. love never ends. This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. I want to welcome you again to our English service this morning. My name is Andrew, and I'm excited to bring you the word from a passage that we looked at last week as well. I hope that you had a good Lunar New Year if you celebrated yesterday, or maybe you're celebrating tonight. I hope you enjoyed time with family and had good food. If you don't celebrate Lunar New Year, happy Super Bowl Day to you. I don't have any strong leanings this year for the Super Bowl, but it is also another excuse to enjoy time with friends and to eat other kinds of junk food as well. So hopefully, whether you care about football or not, hopefully you have time to enjoy time with friends tonight. This morning, we are continuing through our mini-series within our 1 Corinthians series. So we're slowing down and looking at these exact five verses a little bit more closely. These five verses talking about love. And we're going to spend a few weeks looking at each portion of love individually. And we felt that it's worth to dissect each one just so that we can get a better and more clear picture on what love is. Last week, Pastor James started us off with love is patient. So naturally, this week is love is kind. Love is kind. The title of my sermon this morning is Love is Kind, but is it nice? Is it nice? Kindness is something I'm sure we've heard about, especially when we were children. I immediately think about like when we're young, we are taught to be kind to one another. We're taught to be kind to one another. Things like don't hit your brother, right? Or share with your sister. Be kind, be nice to your friends. And even as adults, you think about how we come in contact with certain kind and nice people. Now, when you think of somebody, a kind or nice person, who do you think about? Who comes to mind? For those of you old enough, it might be like Mr. Rogers. He seems like a really nice guy, right? Now, a particular family member of mine, you might know, has a particular affinity with a place called Trader Joe's. And Trader Joe's has this feel, if you've been there, has a particular feel that's a bit different from other grocery stores. Trader Joe's is definitely nowhere near as large as like ShopRite and stuff like that, but they carry pretty interesting, unique products. But something unique about Trader Joe's is the staff. It's the staff. It's like the staff is required to be nice and friendly. And this was especially true like a few years back when Trader Joe's was still doing like the Hawaiian shirts all the time. You know, when you check out, when you go to checkout, the cashier will start a conversation to see like how you're doing. They give recommendations on products that you buy because the employees are also fans of Trader Joe's and Trader Joe's products, and they get especially excited when you buy when you bring up the new products that are in stock. They're just like really nice and kind people, and maybe they're paid to be like that, but you know, it kind of helps the experience when shopping there. But there was one experience that we had when Samantha and I were on vacation in California, and we swung by a Trader Joe's there to just pick up some like snacks for the road and whatnot. And that cashier that we had was like extra, extra friendly. Comments and like full like mini stories for every item that we bought. We only bought 6 items. And she was commenting on things like we bought cut fruit and a pre-made sandwich. Like what kind of story can you have with a pre-made sandwich? Just like boring stuff, just boring stuff. It literally took us probably like double or triple the amount of time to check out and pay for our items because of all these stories. A bit overly friendly, just a bit. Was she nice? Yeah. I think we would qualify that as being nice, but was she necessarily kind to us? Was she necessarily kind to us? When we talk about and think about kindness, looking at the concept and the word itself, right? Naturally, it's worth to look at the definition of this word. So I'll just read to you. Merriam-Webster, their definition of kindness is the quality or state of being kind. Okay? So that's not helpful. So what does kind mean? Merriam-Webster defines as of a sympathetic or helpful nature. Sympathetic or helpful nature. Okay, we can maybe work with that. How should we think of kindness and niceness? Are they the same? When we teach children, I really think that we kind of assume that it's the same. When we get to the passage in 1 Corinthians 13, right? When Paul says love is kind, is he saying that love is nice? Is he saying that love is nice? And when I was preparing this sermon, I actually had some trouble defining what kindness was, because I think we're familiar with the concept in general, but we don't necessarily have a neat definition of what biblical kindness is. And it would definitely be irresponsible for me to just tell you to, like, go and be nice and then end the sermon. Because that's not what Paul is talking about here. When we do a little bit of digging, looking at the Greek word for kindness, we find something interesting and a little bit confusing. The root word for kindness in Greek is the word usefulness. Usefulness. How does this make sense? How is kindness and usefulness, how are they related? I immediately think there's some like disconnect with these two ideas. Usefulness implies something being like pragmatic and practical. So when mixed with kindness, does it mean that kindness only happens when it's like useful for us? That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound right. So maybe we should think about the opposite, right? What's the opposite? What would be a useless kindness? What would be a useless kindness? Some of y'all might remember a few years back, I broke my leg. And during that time, I like hobbled up here to the pulpit on crutches and whatnot. And I had to get surgery to fix the bone in my leg. So now I have like a metal plate in my left leg, near my knee. Still don't know to this day whether I would set off a metal detector, but there is a metal plate in my left leg. But after the surgery, right, putting the plate in, they let me stay for a few hours for a post-op to recover. And after surgery, it is still super painful. I had surgery. It's going to be painful. And evidently, when I was like recovering, I maxed out on like how much pain medicine I was allowed to have, to the point where when I asked for more, the nurse was like wondering if the pain medicine was even working. But after a few hours of being there, a few hours like coming in and out because of the drugs and whatnot, I'm still in pain. I'm in a brace. And then the nurse, she helpfully comes up with a wheelchair. Right, she comes up with a wheelchair so I can get in the wheelchair, can get wheeled to the car to leave and go home. And she cheerfully tells me to hop off the bed and get in the wheelchair. What? I can barely move with my one leg. Like, how do you expect me to like come off the bed by myself and get into this wheelchair? I can't move. I just had surgery, don't you know? I'm all drugged up. I can't get into this wheelchair by myself. She was nice, right? She was nice. She was trying to help. She was trying to help and trying to be kind, but arguably this was a little bit of a useless kindness because it didn't meet the need at hand. It didn't meet the need that I had in terms of like getting off the bed with a broken leg or recently leg with surgery done. It didn't meet the need at hand. True kindness has somewhat of a usefulness embedded in it, meeting some sort of need. There's a pastor out in California named Donnie Fredrickson, and he uses this definition for kindness. He says that real kindness is providing something beneficial or endeavoring to do real good for someone. Let me read that again. Real kindness is providing something beneficial or endeavoring to do real good for someone. Real kindness is providing something beneficial or endeavoring to do real good for someone. Providing something beneficial. That kind of tells that there is like a usefulness that comes with kindness. Now, the clearest example of this is our kind God, naturally, right? Paul, in his letters, refers to God's kindness multiple times, the same word, kindness. And I actually want to highlight two instances where he uses this word kindness. Like firstly, in Romans 2. In Romans 2, we'll have the verse for you on the screen. Romans 2, it reads that we know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? What's God's kindness about in this passage, right? In this part of Romans, Paul is talking about judgment. Paul is talking about judgment. And more specifically, he's talking about God's judgment compared to when we are judging others. In this section, Paul is making it very clear that our sins, especially our past sins, makes us deserving of judgment and punishment. The holy God cannot simply tolerate sin. He must deal with sin. But we see in Scripture, and even in our lives, right, God exercises kindness, forbearance, and patience when it comes to sin. He doesn't deal with it immediately. Because in theory, it is within God's right that as soon as we sin, we get struck down because we disobey, right? Right away. But God, in his kindness, does not deal with it right away. It's this delay that's a mercy and kindness to you and me, helping us not get punished right away. That is quite beneficial and quite useful. But this kindness is also useful when we look at the last part of this verse. This kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. Is meant to lead us to repentance. He's not being kind. God's not being kind just for the sake of being kind. There is a purpose to it, that he's providing an opportunity for us to turn away from sin, the reason for our judgment and our punishment. This leading to repentance is a benefit for all of us. It brings us back into a proper relationship with God. It helps us squash sin in our lives. God's kindness delays this judgment and helps lead us to repentance. Another instance of kindness, right? We read in Ephesians 2, and it reads, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Now, what do we see here? What do we see here about God's kindness? God's kindness isn't simply withholding judgment, as it says in Romans 2, but there is this promise of God continuing to demonstrate his grace. How? Through the kindness in Christ. Continuing to demonstrate his grace through kindness in Christ. Meaning, this grace and kindness are being demonstrated now. We get to experience that now. As Christians, you and I know that this grace and kindness is through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death and his resurrection, where we are made alive, and as Ephesians says, we are raised with him. This kindness addresses the biggest need that we have. It addresses our deepest sin problem. Again, God's kindness isn't simply choosing not to punish us immediately. His kindness provides the solution for you and for me. In fact, it is the only solution for humanity. And as we talk about kindness, right? As we talk about kindness, we might think that being kind is somehow something that will win us favor with God. Being kind arguably is almost like the first requirement, is the first requirement for someone wanting to be a good person. If you want to be a good person, you should be kind. And let's be clear, okay? Being kind isn't bad, okay? Being kind isn't bad, but we'd be foolish to think that we can stock up enough like kindness points in our lives to outweigh the brokenness and sin that we commit and that we create. Because the reality is that you and I are unkind people. We are unkind people. We are unkind people. We just think about like how you treat people, how you treat annoying coworkers, or annoying family members, or annoying friends, if they are friends, right? How do we treat them? We are naturally unkind people. And I think it takes a large amount of honesty for us to really come face to face with that sometimes. Because we want to be a good person. Therefore, we want to be kind. But our default posture probably leans more unkind than kind. Not only in offending other people, but especially when it comes to offending a holy God. There is no way we can repay these points. In fact, I don't think we can even track such points, even if we tried. And it's in this dire need that God shows his kindness in Christ. That when it comes to providing something beneficial, when it comes to providing something beneficial as an act of kindness, providing salvation for a broken humanity, that fits pretty well. That fits pretty well. Because all these things are true, right? About God's kindness to us, right? What next? What next? In Paul's writing, we always see that we act as a response to a truth. We act always as a response to a truth. It's never just, you know, go do good things. Just go and do it for the sake of doing good things. Any command is linked with some truth about us or about God. Same thing applies to kindness. In Paul's writings, all the other times that he uses kindness, he is exhorting and encouraging the early Christians to be kind. We don't have time to go through all of them this morning, but just in Ephesians and Colossians, right, Paul tells those Christians to be kind as part of their new selves. Be kind because it's part of your new self, that through Christ they are made new, through Christ they are given new life. Kindness is part of their new identity. Kindness is part of their new identity. In 1 Corinthians, right, where we've been studying the past few months, right, the Corinthian church definitely needed this reminder. If you remember, right, if you remember chapter 13 Corinthians, right, is talking about spiritual gifts. If you like pull that from like weeks ago, we're talking about spiritual gifts. And basically the Corinthian church, they were like abusing spiritual gifts. They were using it in a way that was grossly unloving and unkind to their fellow brothers and sisters. They're using it in a way that's causing division. They're using it in a way where it's not benefiting anybody else. And even elsewhere throughout Corinthians, they got a lot of problems, but they are definitely not kind to one another within their own church. Paul needs to remind them that they are saved because of Christ. So therefore, they are to put on this new redeemed self, which includes kindness. And likewise, you and I, we need to remember this truth as well, that Paul is also reminding us that just as we were shown kindness from God, we are to respond with kindness. This is a super practical way for us to be God's hands and feet in this world, that as part of our new identity, we are agents of God's kindness, seeking to provide something beneficial to people and doing good for them and meeting a need. As we enter into this part of the sermon, I'm going to be talking about some practical bits about kindness. But I want us to remember this connection, okay? Because the last thing I want to happen is to simply do kindness, but do it apart from recognizing that we have been given the ultimate kindness in Christ. I don't want us to divorce the two. I don't want you to leave here with the thinking that, oh, Andrew told me to go be nice this week, okay? Our kindness towards the people around us is grounded and rooted and is motivated by the kindness we have been shown by God. Our kindness is an outflow of this greater spiritual reality. Practicing such kindness is something that applies to people inside and outside the church. But in order to know what is beneficial for somebody, we need to know what people need. Right? Because if real kindness is providing something beneficial for somebody else, we need to know what is benefiting to them. Now, on one level, right, on one level, we know that everyone, as Christians, we recognize this, right, that everyone needs the gospel, right? Everyone is a sinner in need of Jesus, right? So a straightforward act of kindness that mimics God's kindness is telling people about Jesus. There's a need, there's a deep spiritual need that they have, so we meet that need by telling them about Jesus, okay? Helping people recognize their need for a savior. Great, okay? That's definitely one way that we can show kindness to the people around us, right? But sometimes, I would argue oftentimes, it's more difficult to show kindness in specific physical ways. In specific physical ways. Because the reality is that God desires and he cares about the well-being of you and me and of people. He's seeking to bring wholeness to this world in all dimensions of life. He's not only seeking to simply, okay, make sure everybody believes in Jesus and done kind of thing, right? God is interested in the well-being of people. So when it comes to these specific ways, right, how can we know the needs of others so that we can provide something beneficial? How can we know the needs of others so we can provide something beneficial? Right. one way, right, deals with missions work and mercy ministries. I think this is especially important when we think about this, right? We need to know the needs in order to serve people when we go out, in order to show real kindness to them. Because you think about it, right? How silly would it be for us to go to a different country and build a well for the locals, but they already have easy access to clean water? Right? How silly would that be? Sure, it's a nice thing to do that we build a well for them, right? But arguably, it is a useless kindness. It's a useless kindness, right? Likewise, right, we send missions teams to places to teach English, right? So we hold English camps in like Taiwan, and it's because there's a need and there's demand to learn English. But what if we went to Taiwan and tried to hold a Chinese-speaking camp? That wouldn't make sense either. That wouldn't make sense. Sure, we could make it fun with games and whatnot, right? But it's arguably also a useless kindness. So even as we're thinking about how we reach the world, right, we don't want to assume certain needs that they have. It's important for us to be responsible, to see, to scout out, to talk to people and see what the needs are so that we can actually be kind to them. Not just like nice, but do something in kindness that's actually benefiting their situation. Doing something that actually benefits their situation. This also applies to within the church. Even within the church. In order to know this and to learn these things, relationship is super important. Relationship is super important. Relationship allows us to know each other better. It allows us to share struggles, share burdens, share life together. As a community, right, as the community gets closer and closer, we can better show kindness to one another. Just as a quick example, right? In marriages, this is something that gets developed, ideally, as the years go by, right? Being able to show true kindness to one another. After, like, Samantha and I have been married for a few years now, right? And, you know, now after a few years, I now know how to show kindness to her that actually helps her. That actually helps her to the point where a lot of times I can predict what she needs. I can predict what she needs, especially when it comes to her needs after a 12-hour shift at the hospital. After a 12-hour shift at the hospital. If I were to prepare a nice date for her, like this Valentine's Day, right? Which, husbands, boyfriends, just a reminder, this Wednesday, okay? If I were to prepare a nice date for her, right, where we go out and drive somewhere far away and do something really nice together, that's nice, right? That sounds really romantic, right? But probably not after a 12-hour shift at the hospital. Probably not after a 12-hour shift at the hospital when she's dead tired and all she wants to do is like eat and lie down kind of thing, right? Planning such a date is nice, right? But it doesn't necessarily meet the immediate need that she has. It's not necessarily kind to her, arguably a useless kindness. It's not the most accurate thing to do at the moment. Real kindness provides a benefit for another person, which requires us to know what the person needs. So when we look at our own community groups, when we look at our own community groups, I hope that we can seek to practice this, right? Seek to practice this kindness. But again, that kindness requires us to actually know each other. requires us to draw nearer to each other, to know what's going on in one another's lives. And I know that sometimes it's difficult for us to be willing to open ourselves up to the people in our groups, that we want to, you know, keep the shallowness with the other Christians and brothers and sisters, right? But this is not how we show this loving kindness to one another. This is not how we show this kindness to each other. And I hope that we can seek to move in this direction, to practice deeper and better kindness, to be willing to initiate, to share our lives and be willing to go out of our way to even show kindness to somebody else in our group. Love is kind. Love is kind. And church, this is how we can better love one another. And I hope that, you know, as we recognize and embrace the reality that just as God has been loving and kind to you and me, showing us the ultimate kindness in the person of Jesus Christ, that it would propel us to bring the same love and deep and useful kindness to those around us, inside and outside the church. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to consider this, right? Consider, even in this week, how you can show this kindness to somebody else, right? Not simply because Andrew told you to, right? Or simply because it's what it means to be a good person, right? But it's because we have been shown the greatest kindness. We who were unkind received the greatest kindness. Let's pray. I want to give you a minute or two just to think about this. Allow God to show you maybe areas where you have been unkind. And then from there, seeking to find opportunities in certain people where maybe you can extend this deeper kindness to them. Friends, we have been shown the ultimate kindness in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would this be our motivation and the reason why we would want to share the same kindness to those around us? Father, I ask that you would help us in this area of kindness, because it seems like something so elementary. I mean, it's something we teach children. But kindness isn't simply just being nice. It is something much deeper, because it is something that is exemplified by you. It is something given to us by you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to mimic your kindness to the people around us in this world, to even our own brothers and sisters in the church. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to become more like you in this way, you being the kind God, that we would seek to also bring your kindness to this world as a witness to who you are, as a testimony to your kindness and love to humanity. Lord, we need help in this area. We are weak. So Holy Spirit, would you empower us that we would be more kind like our Heavenly Father, like our Lord Jesus Christ. Transform us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.